I have picked up a trick that has worked every time. I have yet to see this one fail, and this was from some of my girlfriends in college. I really don't know what I would do without this trick. But if you are hosting a party and you would like to start signaling to people that it is time for them to start looking for their coats, you turn to them and you say to them,
"Party people, welcome back to the My 20 Somethings podcast."
For those of you who are new here, we're Jenna and Sophie. We are two 20-something-year-old best friends who started this podcast to create a community of those of us just figuring this all out. Every other week, we bring you advice, guest mentors, and personal anecdotes so you never have to say, "I wish I knew that in my 20s."
Does anyone else feel like they turned 20? And there was this instant expectation that you're supposed to party and make the next 5 to 10 years like the wildest years of your life.
Yes, but they also say that your choices in your 20s will shape the rest of your life, and you are expected to get 90s in school while working a full job, while going grocery shopping, while consistently doing your laundry and taking care of yourself, all within the span of 24 hours.
It's a lot. And honestly, I find being 20 super freaking confusing. Like, you have to take on all of the responsibilities of an adult, but then party like your Miley Cyrus post Hannah Montana era.
In honor of holiday party season being right around the corner, today we are going to be taking you through all of the tips and tricks for having a memorable experience in your 20s without ending up lying on the floor of the bathroom at the end of the night.
So stick around and let's get this party started.
Woot woot!
So we will be the first to admit that we have felt socially awkward and very uncomfortable at parties. Sometimes it's super tricky to know what to say and what not to say and what to do and what not to do when interacting in large groups.
The good news is that we've been around the block quite a few times and have gathered some great secrets for how to have a blast when out with your friends. These party tricks will help you stay cool, stand out, and have the best night of your young life.
So these party tricks are things that Jenna and I use when we go out to have in our back pocket to kind of pull out. I don't know, you couldn't, I wouldn't say that it's like a security blanket, but these are reliable tips and tricks that we do when we're in social situations to always have in our back pocket that we can pull out so that we have things when we're feeling a little bit uncomfortable that we can turn to. And it's like kind of like a security blanket, but more like a routine when you get that anxious, I want to go home feeling.
I'm gonna get started with my favorite trick of all time. This was told to me years ago. I can't remember if it was by my mother or by someone, maybe my older sister, older and wiser than I. But they told me a while ago that the best thing to do when at a party, if you aren't a crazy drinker and you still just wanna fit in socially, is to pour yourself a drink of whatever you want and hold on to it the entire night. So that way, you can sip at it as you go along, and you aren't gonna feel pressured to consistently have new drinks, or people aren't gonna give you those comments of, "Why don't you have a drink in your hand?" You will always have something to hold on to, which gives you something to do with your hands, because sometimes I don't know where to put them. But also, it lets you control how much alcohol you consume. So this is a great thing to do with your mocktails or your cocktails, and it's a perfect way for you to hold on to drinks and have something planned so that you are ready to have a fun night and not have to worry about what's going in your system or coming out.
Absolutely. And another trick that I always use is making sure that I have a friend or a buddy to always have beside me at a party. And going into it, knowing that we have each other's backs. Jenna and I went to a party once and we had code names for different situations and different looks and everything. So making sure that when you are with a friend, you set some boundaries at the beginning of the night, just letting them know like what your comfort level is. And then even if it's just like a family party, if you find that favorite cousin that you're super comfortable with and want to catch up with them, it's just great to have someone by your side who will make you feel a little bit more comfortable and reduce your anxiety. So yeah, that's my trick is just always have a buddy, someone who you can hold their hand and make it through to the end.
Okay, so let's talk conversation starters at parties, because I know for me, some of the hardest things to do is get a conversation flowing without it feeling forced or uncomfortable. What do you say is like the easiest way to get the talking rolling?
Yeah, I've learned that people love to talk about themselves. So I think sometimes when you're in a conversation, you're like, oh, I have to impress this person, especially if it's like a social event that's like networking or like a little bit more talkative. And I've learned very quickly that people love talking about themselves and they can always have an answer for it. So I shy away from talking about really big topics that I don't know the answers to. Because I don't want to get involved into a really heated conversation. That's not my jam. But I ask them about themselves, like, what do you do for work? Or like, it goes on and on. It's really easy, literally just be like, hey, how are you doing? Like, what did you get up to? Or like, what are you studying at school? And people will just take it away and you'll find like a common ground. And I find that really, really easy.
See, I'm kind of the opposite. And I feel like, yes, it's good now and then just to have those little like, how is the weather today for you? Like those little generic conversation starters. Those are true, you know, old reliables that will always work and always last. But for me, I think the best way to have really deep and interesting conversations with people is to come in with some topics in your back pocket that are really easily debated topics. So my favorite one, and you're going to laugh at me, is I always bring up the topic of, is a hot dog a sandwich? Because no matter who you are, no matter if you are a hot dog eater or not, you will always have something to say about the topic. Everyone takes a stance on this one topic. I can't explain why. It's the same idea as like, is water wet? Or is a smoothie a type of soup? Like there are so many and they're endless. And if you start one of these, I guarantee you more and more people will come by and say, I hate to, you know, have to chime in, but I overheard you, and everyone's going to pile in because something about this just brings people together.
So do you turn to someone and literally be like, hi, I'm Jenna. Do you think a hot dog's a sandwich?
No, I mean, there's a bit more of a lead up to that, but it would most likely be like, you'd be talking to a group of people and you'd say, okay, you know, I have something controversial. Who here thinks a hot dog's a sandwich? And people get heated. Like, it really is something that unites people and that makes people take off, you know, their armor that's keeping them all tightly wound. Everyone just lets go and lets them just be silly and funny with each other because there are no consequences to these conversations.
Interesting. See, I will, like, I'll admit I'm a listener, which is funny because we host a podcast. So like me saying that I'm listening, like, literally this is basically a one-sided conversation, is really like counterintuitive. But at parties, I actually really like to listen to conversations. And I think that's why I like asking people about themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's my comfort zone, or I'll like pitch in. Or if like, I know that my, like someone at the party just like post something on Instagram that like, they just got a dog, I'll be like, oh, how's your dog doing? I saw photos. So mm-hmm. cute. Like I really do like target it towards themselves, but that's a really great one. I've never thought of having something like that in my back mm-hmm. pocket to bring out. So
what something goes with what you said is also just finding common ground. And yeah. So whether that's playing local geography and saying, oh, I think you know this person that I know, or saying, I heard that you took Psych 101. I too took Psych 101. Anything that can really be a topic that you can both relate to allows it for it to be a mutual conversation where you're both benefiting from it rather than an interview.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I mean, is finding that. Yeah, geography is a great one when you ask mm-hmm. like, where are you from? And if you know someone from there, the issue is when they're say like some small town, you're like, and where is that? And then they tell you yeah. where it is. You're like, I still don't know.
I've probably been near there in
and
passing.
And then the conversation stops and you're like, okay, cool. We'll probably never talk again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awkward. But no, those are great ones. So like, number one, ask someone if they think of a hot dog's a sandwich. Number two, maybe play geography, find some common ground, ask them about themselves, or just listen. That's okay too. That's mm-hmm. what I do.
Do you feel comfortable joining a conversation that other people are having? Like, will you walk into one?
Yeah. If I hear something interesting or like if I'm standing there, absolutely. I don't know if I'll like, if it looks personal, if I'll just like walk in. Mm-hmm. But if it's like nearby, yeah.
I'd say like the thing for all of these tricks is that confidence is key. Mm-hmm. And for me, confidence is a bit of fake it till you make it, because I don't think people are born with confidence. I think people play confident. And people put on confidence. And so if you just decide, I'm going to go in and join, most likely people are just going to be excited by the prospect of you just having enough confidence to say, hey, I heard you were talking about Gossip Girl. I love Blair Waldorf. And we'll just want to, you know, take in your excited energy rather than the alternative of what you're thinking it's going to be, which is people are going to think you're intrusive or obnoxious.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, a simple hello goes a very, very long way. And chances are, like, if someone else is kind of quiet, they're like, shoot, I don't know what to say. And if you just like say hi, like, what are you drinking? Or like, what do you think of this? Or like, it's really easy to like start a conversation.
Another old reliable is commenting on their outfits. Because so many people that attend parties are feeling a bit insecure and saying, oh, I knew I should have worn the jeans instead of the leather pants, or they're just doubting themselves at moments. So if you turn to someone and say, hey, I just want to say you look awesome, most of the time it is going to make their night and give them the confidence they need to go on and form more conversations and connections.
A fun game when you ask people to, they say that if you compliment a woman on anything, she'll tell you where she bought it and how much you paid for it.
She'll do an OOTD.
Yeah. If you're like, oh my God, I love your shirt. She's like, oh my God, I got it for H&M for 50% off. Like, it'll be so funny. And you'll be like, oh my God, it literally works every single time. And now that you know that, you'll laugh because everyone's going to tell you where they got everything when you compliment them on it.
I've got one more.
Oh my God, do it. Because I have none.
Recommendations. So it is such a good way to get people talking by saying to them, hey, I, you know, just finished watching Gossip Girl. That's my show of the day. Gossip Girl on Netflix, and I am so in need for a new recommendation. What have you been binging recently? Or, oh, I need a really good playlist on Spotify. Do you have any things that you can't live without? So people, again, are so interested in talking about their things, and it's something that they don't have to think so deeply about. So everyone can just truly go into their phone and bring up their favorite app or bring up, you know, their new favorite shopping online site. And so anything that like is so easy for them to recommend, people really do feel like they're helping and they like talking about themselves, as you said.
Jenna, these are great tips. I honestly like don't really have any, and now I have some in my back pocket.
I'm telling you, party with me.
If you guys have any more, honestly, I need them. So DM us all of your party tricks. Would love to hear them. Okay, but what if you're the one hosting the party and everyone's in your house? Do you have any like tips and tricks? I know we've both hosted things. So I feel like when you're hosting parties, like the most stressful thing ever, because you're like, are people going to have fun? What are they going to do? It's my house. Like, what's there to do here? Like, what do I need to do? Will it be too much if I provide snacks? Like, there's so much social anxiety when it comes to hosting. So what are your tricks?
Well, first of all, it's the best and the worst, because you're right. It's the worst. It's stressful. You feel added pressure to make sure people are having fun. You also feel added pressure to take care of your space that you're hosting it in. I get very nervous about people going through my stuff or breaking things that are valuable. I don't host things often for this very reason, but when I do, I really have to do whatever I can to take a damn chill pill, because it is overwhelming. The good news about hosting things is that you don't need to figure out a way home at the end of the night. Mm-hmm. And when you're done, you just crawl straight into bed, which is so, so nice. My tips and tricks for hosting a party would be to, first of all, have some people come and help you set up ahead of time, because this makes sure that you are not going to have that awkward situation when you have one guest come in and it is just you and them and you exhaust all conversation before anyone else gets there. So having people come and pre or get excited with you and then help set up the situation kills two birds with one stone, because there's less prep and also there's not those awkward encounters.
That's a great, great tip. One of my tips is just making sure that the space feels good to you. And I'm not saying you need to decorate, but again, if there are things that are valuable to you, take a stressful item off of your list, go put it somewhere else where people aren't really going to see it, whether it's a locked room or like some, like a closet somewhere else. Another big thing that I always did was like moved pieces of furniture, just especially if you're gonna have lots of people in a space, it's okay to just go put your coffee table in the garage for the night. Mm-hmm. So making sure that the space feels good. In my old house, it was like a laser light type of idea. So if that's the vibe of your party, like doing something fun with the lighting, that kind of idea can make it a lot of fun. And also just like make it not necessarily feel like just your house to you. Mm-hmm.
I think also it's so important to set the boundaries ahead of time. And so that doesn't mean that you have to be like a penny planner and be really aggressive with all the plans and make it not enjoyable for everyone, but telling people ahead of time, here are the rooms you're allowed in, here's where you're not allowed to go, or here's the Wi-Fi password, yes. Or, you know, here are the substances I allow in my space, or even here's what time I want you to go home. So setting that ahead of time means you don't have to be chasing everyone down and that you can actually enjoy the party once you're there because you've gotten all that really annoying stuff out of the way beforehand.
Yeah, that's a great one. Even like having the Wi-Fi on the wall or on your fridge, somewhere where everyone can see it, so you're not sharing the Wi-Fi password all night, is a good one. Another one that I really like, and this is what I've done when I've hosted, is have like a theme, and it doesn't need to be like a strict theme. It can literally be like there's a game that we're all gonna play or something super loose, but it takes some of the social pressure off, and it also like adds a conversation starter. So one time we did, and this one's like not controversial, but some people like the idea that sometimes they don't. We were a super tight-knit group of friends, so we did the cuffing party where you were like cuffed to your friend, and it was so much fun. And we did boys and girls, and we did it so that you couldn't be cuffed to someone that you were like already friends with. So it was a lot of fun to like actually get to know someone new. And I do not remember what it took to get uncuffed, but there was some
Done
rule and like you had to do pong. It was a lot of fun. So it just totally broke the ice. Everyone had such a fun time, and it was so jokes.
that. You just said it. Icebreakers. Having games in place as a host, even just having activities laid out that people can partake in if they want, but obviously don't have to, helps with those people that are maybe like you and maybe don't, necessarily know what to do at a party or have those moments of awkwardness where they hesitate at a party. So just setting things out that people can use if they want it just makes it so much easier for everyone else.
And it also just takes the pressure off of you to like make sure that everyone's having a good time. Like a lot of the time too, another tip, have a good playlist ready to go. Nothing is worse than like silence and you being like, who wants to go on aux? Like it's just awkward. So like even asking for like playlist ahead of time, figuring out someone who's going to be on aux, all of these things just so you don't have to worry about it, are super fun things. You don't need to provide snacks all the time if it doesn't feel right. Like do what feels right. Especially just like create boundaries if people are allowed to have other people over to your house, and like just communicate clearly ahead of time. But yeah.
I've learned this last tip the hard way, and I've only recently started actually following it. But I would say that the most important thing when you're hosting a party is to clean up as you go, because there is nothing worse than finally getting everybody out of your house and making sure everyone's gotten home safe and being so exhausted and looking into a room full of mess. It sucks. So if you can even just pick up things here and there without obviously looking like you're the narc of the party that doesn't want to have fun, you will so appreciate the fact that you started cleaning up way before it was actually time to wrap the party up.
Yeah, honestly, sometimes you just have to sleep on it
It's true. I do that too. I come
and do
out,
it
I'll
the
say it's
next day.
tomorrow's problem.
Yeah, so
Exactly.
you can have fun too, because when you're hosting a party, you need to have fun as well, and it shouldn't be stressful. So like cleaning up, like obviously within reason as you go, but sometimes you're just like, okay, that's gonna be tomorrow's problem, and just don't schedule anything for the next day.
True that. True that. So our next category, which we think is so important to touch on, is what to do when the party is over. And that may mean the party has finished and you are ready to send people home as the host, or it may mean you've decided that the party's over and you would like to leave.
What is the exit strategy here?
Ooh, it gets tricky. It gets really tricky and complicated. I often find I feel like I can't leave until I see a lot of people starting to leave, or else it's rude or I don't seem fun. So I've definitely experienced a lot of the stress around knowing when it's appropriate to go or knowing how to go.
Yeah, I mean, there's like Jenna actually just taught me this recently, something called the Irish goodbye, when you just kind of slip out, which I'm really good at the slip, but always making sure to thank the host, at least like by text after. But it is definitely best practice to like at least thank the host really quickly. I think the Irish goodbye is more like you don't have to say goodbye to every single person at the party when you leave. But yeah, this is sometimes super awkward, especially when you're there with a group of people and you really want to go home and they're not ready to go home. So, yeah, I don't know if I've ever really struggled with this. I can't really think of a time when I wanted to leave and then couldn't.
I often find that you really just have to trust and pick up on the signals of the host and the other guests. So when you're noticing that the activity is starting to die down or end, or you're noticing the host is starting to pick up, all the garbage off the ground, that is a good time for you to say, okay, I've had so much fun and I can't wait to do this again, but I've got an early morning tomorrow. Or again, I think my rule of thumb is when one person leaves, that is the excuse. It's almost like the plug has been pulled, everyone is allowed to trail out.
Yeah, honestly, I think like I don't even think about this because it's been like a decent amount of time since I've been to a party because of COVID, but B, I think a lot of the time I actually stay back and help them clean up if it's appropriate. So sometimes it'll be a pre and you're going to the club. Like I'll do like the best that I can to kind of like get the cans or whatever, or help the host put stuff away. But if it's like just a general party, like I definitely am one of the last to leave a lot of the time. And I always do my best to help, whether it's like they're not cleaning up yet, but I just see a mess and take the like initiative to pick it up and go put it where it's supposed to be. That's always, always appreciated by the host. When you just do that extra little bit to like put stuff away, and you don't need to be like, I'm going to clean up now. Just do it.
It is super, super tricky to end a party when you're the host, because again, you face not wanting to look like, you know, the lame host that says, okay, everybody bedtime. But sometimes you are ready for it to be done and you are wanting people to start heading out. But the good news is I have picked up a trick that has worked every time. I have yet to see this one fail. And this was from some of my girlfriends in college. I really don't know what I would do without this trick. But if you are hosting a party and you would like to start signaling to people that it is time for them to start looking for their coats, you turn to them and you say to them, so do you have a ride home? You've organized your ride home? Because that signals to them that it is time to start thinking about their ride home.
Yeah. Genius. A really good one. It's a really, really, really good one. I also think like when you're hosting, I mean, I've never hosted a party where it's like alone in my house only. Like I've always had like a co-host or other people helping. And so that's kind of nice because you can kind of tag team. And like when one of the hosts goes to bed, you can be like, oh, like, well, she's tired. Like, I think we're wrapping it up now. Like type of idea. So or like tag team. It's so awkward. But that one, like, do you have a ride? Are you prepared to go home or anything like that? Is a really, really subtle way to be like, get out of my house. Mm-hmm. I'm done. Yeah. Even having like an after activity too, if you're hosting something ahead of time or like it's a dinner and like it's just very clear that it's over, it's a good way to do it.
No, that's a good thing. Like having something planned as an exit, like, you know, after this, we're going to go here, is a good thing because you can say to people, okay, guys, I think we should start heading out so that, you know, we don't hit traffic or anything like that. Like it's a really good way to get people moving and gone. And maybe, you know, then you can do a quick cleanup before you go and join them and you are set.
Absolutely. Even if it's like even just like teas or desserts, if it's more of a casual thing, is a really great way to like wrap up some conversations and be like, okay, it's done now.
Something else I think is super important to talk about is that having a party doesn't necessarily have to be the traditional having people over for drinks or for hanging out and anything like you've seen in the movies. I consider having a party hanging out and having fun with friends, and where you do that and how you do that is totally up to you.
Yeah, like where I go to school and where I am in my life right now, the typical like Thursday, Saturday night thing is to like get ready, go to pre, go to a club, and then that's kind of it. Like that's what is categorized as partying and going out. And that is not the only way to create fun memories in your 20s or when you're at school. So it's all about trying new things that you like to do. And there's so many ways to have fun other than just going out and doing the same thing every single week. So
some of my favorite things to do that I would totally consider partying with my friends is going to do an activity. So that could be something like going roller skating or going to do, you know, laser tag or an escape room or going to see a show. I love going to see live theater or drag performances are super fun. So anything like that is a great way to be social and go out with friends.
Yeah, anything that's like a group activity, like movie nights, painting nights, all of these fun things that is not necessarily going out and just partying in like the classic sense, but there's so much more fun and it's shared experience. Well, not more fun. But it's creating a shared experience and a different way to connect with people, take a break from your normal life, have some fun, let loose, but do something different.
One of my favorite not party parties is having a Friendsgiving dinner. And I love having friends over so you can celebrate each other and be with each other. But that can be as simple as having drinks together or having a meal together or even just bonding and reminiscing over your favorite memories together.
Absolutely. Even like one of my favorites is just like saying, hey, let's go for drinks and just getting a drink at a restaurant and sitting at a fun bar or like just having a good talk. I love like just having a good talk with people, and sometimes parties are not the best environment to have deep, meaningful life talk. So I really enjoy that when I'm out with like a small group of friends.
Now, it wouldn't be fair to go through this whole episode about all of our party tricks and party success stories without talking about those few times that it didn't go our way. So we thought we'd share with you some of our favorite party fails, where sometimes even our best tricks weren't enough to make it work out great.
I'm just trying to think of a moment because there's been a few.
I've got one.
Then go ahead.
I've got one that involves you.
Oh, God.
It mostly involves you.
Okay.
So this was a party that we were really, really young. And it was like one of our very first house parties. And we were super excited to be there. And it also happened to be a costume party. It was for Halloween. And so we were so excited to, and we came dressed up as maids. We were these cute little maids, little skirts and little aprons. And we were so happy to be there. So excited, so naive. And lo and behold, Sophie made a really nice connection with a boy at this party and started chatting with him. And he seemed to have too much to drink that night, which was really unfortunate, and ended up chucking, I'll use the word, yakking on my good friend Sophie. And, you know, in my opinion, a normal person would freak the fuck out in that situation and would get up and run, but not Miss Sophie. She was dressed for the part and she became the most amazing maid who helped the boy. And then not only that, helped clean up the house and clean up the carpet and the couch, and was literally on hands and knees scrubbing. And it looked like she was hired to like work this party. Like everyone was kind of confused as to like when the help got here, which was hilarious. But I will never forget that. Yeah. And all it says is that, you know, being able to be confident and work on the fly in a party will still get you far, even if you're covered in throw up.
Yeah, that was funny because that was in high school and I was like that kid's high school mentor, and he was like a year younger, and I was like, why are you here? Like, not that it was like weird, but I was like, oh, hi. And it was the first time we'd ever like been in a social situation, and he started to look kind of green. I honestly didn't know how drunk he was, and it was like at my feet. It wasn't like on me, but it was like all over the carpet. And I luckily, being the proactive person I am, brought sweatpants. Do you remember that? And I was like, I'm not having this. I put on my sweatpants and I went to work. Everyone else was like peacing out. I think we cleaned the entire house that night.
Oh, that's a tip too, though. If you can fit it, bring a change of shoes, bring a change of clothes, because you will be so happy on the way home to get out of those whatever you're wearing that is uncomfy, and you will want to get into sweats.
Yes. I would say a little spot in the house to like hide a mini bag. Yeah.
I would say that story is more of a him fail than a you fail. But you know what? The fact that we're able to laugh about it, I hope he is too, because it's memorable.
It was funny. I don't think we ever talked after that.
Like, ever. Oh, no.
Oh, my God. I don't know. I guess one of my fails that's like more personal was there was like an event. It was like a really one of those large frat parties that was scheduled in like an event center, and you need tickets and whatever. And I lost my buddies like out of thin air, poof. And it was like, it wasn't a house party. It was really big. I completely lost them. I was with them and then I wasn't. I don't even know what happened. And I like had a major panic attack. I was like, I don't know where to go. Like, I don't know what to do. I'm literally in a sea of hundreds of people. And so I literally got into the venue and went out the other door. Like I was gone and no one was answering their phones. And I was so sad, like so sad. And I was like, I'm walking home. Mind you, this was like 15 kilometers from my house. So I was like missioning home and I was so sad. I was like in my little pity mood. I had no idea where I was. I ended up ordering an Uber and going home. And like, I just like, it was the worst experience ever because I felt like no one cared that I wasn't there or whatever. And it was just like a sucky experience. And that's when I realized, I was like, okay, let's find people who will like be a buddy system and always have someone who's like a designated buddy. Don't leave your friends behind.
See, I think I get one more story because I told Sophie's story. Right. So here's one about me. And I just remembered this. I was at a party and it wasn't even a party per se. It was at an event space. So it was like a nicer party. And I thought I was super funny to get up on a chair and make a toast. And so I had a glass with me. And again, this was a rented out space. And I had a glass, and it must have been a fork, or I know you're supposed to use a knife, but I used a fork. And I slammed it against it as if to like clink the glass to make, nice clink, clink, clink sounds to tell them I was gonna make a toast. And I shattered the glass. It got everyone's attention, so it did its job. Everyone definitely looked up to hear what I had to say. But it looked like I just had gotten on top of a chair and then smashed a glass, which
Oh
was like
my
a super
God.
weird power move. But it was unforgettable. And I don't even remember. I was very apologetic. And I don't remember what ended up happening, if they made me pay for it or if they just like said, you know what, we get it. Like,
Yeah,
it
these
was a
things happen.
mistake. Right. I'm sure they have contingency plans for all their glassware and stuff like that. But oh my gosh. Sometimes, having confidence can backfire at parties. And it clearly did for me this time.
That's really funny. No, I've definitely had like my share of awkward parties. I think it literally just like taught me. I'm like, hey, I'm gonna go to parties where I really like the people there and I'm gonna have fun and I'm not just gonna sit there and have no idea what's going on. And like that was like that party, the one where I was like, I lost everyone. I was like, okay, let's figure this out and find a buddy. Because in high school, Jenna and I used to hold hands at every single party.
You
Like we were
did.
inseparable and I was like, I need my Jenna.
Have a person you can hold hands with. I'm telling you, it changes the game.
Really does. Well,
Okay, I think we are ready to move on to our game segment, which is my favorite part of each podcast episode where we get to relax, have fun, and play some games. So, for today's game segment, we are returning back to one of our favorites. We call it Good News. This game segment is where we get to find our favorite good news article that has come up in the last week and share with you some really good news, because God knows we all need some good news in today's climate.
oh my goodness, don't we all? I wish that there was like a day where they were like, there's no news today.
It's
Here's a
true. Can
video
you
of a
imagine?
cat or a dog, like just being like, we don't have anything new for you, but like, here you go.
It's
This
true.
is
All
what's
the news
good.
seems to be bad. I don't, there should be a rule where like one
All the
day a
time.
month they can only tell us the good things.
I literally watched the news for 10 minutes and I'm depressed.
It's
Like, we're
depressing.
all doomed.
Not this news though. We went over to goodnewsnetwork.org and picked us out some of our favorite happy news stories. So Sophie, start us off with some good ass news.
So my favorite headline that caught my eye is on their 77th anniversary, Iowa couple finally gets to take their wedding photos. And they show the wedding photos. The bride, they've been married before, but the bride is 97 and the groom is 98.
Do they look beautiful?
They look so cute.
Why didn't they take their photos before?
I think they were just saying that, like, when they took their vows, it was 1944, and just like it was World War II, and like he was deployed overseas.
Oh, they were
They were
busy.
high school sweethearts. So, like, they just took their vows and like moved on with it. And they didn't have a photographer to record them. So, they did it 77 years later, and they have like the cutest photos. Like, they look like the style of now photos, but like,
Oh,
so long ago. It's so cute.
that is good news. Oh, happy wedding, everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, my news is pretty darn good though, and I hope I can top yours. I don't know. This news story is called Sweetest Thing Ever: Firefighter Reads to Little Girl After Car Accident. And so basically, this firefighter was sent out to this car accident, and as a way of keeping the child occupied and happy and safe, sat down with her on the side of the road and read her a storybook, which I think is the sweetest thing. And it just shows that a kind act really goes a long way, because it definitely made this girl smile and it made me smile even more.
That's really sweet. I love like home, like hero stories like that, because it's the little like human personal things that just,
Oh,
oh.
so nice. I wanted,
We
don't
need
you
more
wish you could
people
see
like
that?
that. We need more people like that.
That's something I wish that I could just be walking by the side of the road and witness that, because I
Yeah.
think that would melt my heart to see. Oh, we picked cute ones this time. I love
I
those.
like those ones. Good. All right. Well, if you have any good news or want to share a mini victory with us, please use the hashtag MTS Good News, and we'll be sure to give you the props that you deserve for all of your amazing accomplishments.
So that brings us to the end of our episode. We hope you've taken away some fun and useful tips for making your party life easy, enjoyable, and exciting.
If we missed any of your favorite party tricks, please send us a DM and share your hidden gems with our community. We'll be sure to share them for you.
Remember that there is no one right way to live your 20s, and with that, there is no one right way to party. As long as you're fueling your inner party animal every now and then, you're likely to look back at your 20s as the best years of your life.
We hope you enjoyed this episode and you took something useful away from it. I know I did. If you did, please subscribe to our podcast and give us a rating. Every rating means so much to us and truly helps us as growing creators.
Let's keep the party going over on our Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And check out our brand new website at www.my20somethingspodcast.com for more exclusive content.
We love you so much. We're sending you endless love and fun times. Cheers to the good years and party on. Bye, guys.